So let's see where we could begin today, and you'll tell me if you have a page that says on it Tough Pei, which would be the equivalent of 480.
Yeah.
So if you have that page, if not, there might be some extra copies in the archives.
Tough Shin Lamed Tet.
And it's Tough Shin Lamed Tet, correct. Now, if you recall, the Mishnah Lamelech at the beginning of Hilchus Nara had quoted the Mara Sason, and he was perplexed about the sugya later on in Perek Elunaris on Daf Lamed Vav with regard to Shnios LaRayos. And the question is, in a case of a man who has a relationship with a Shnio LaRayos, which is only an Erev D'Rabbanon, does he pay Knas or does he not pay Knas? And the Gemara thinks, logically, that Midoraisa, since he's on a Doraisa level, he's allowed to marry this woman, then it should be nothing, no reason, no logic under the sun that should alleviate him of paying the Knas. Now this Gemara, according to Maror Sason, is a great kash on the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah assumes that when you violate Shnios LaRayos, in effect you're violating Lo Sosur, and it becomes upgraded almost to a Doraisa level. So why is the Gemara saying Midoraisa Chazile? Am I Einlem Knas? That was the Maror Sason. And we're going to come in the context of this Marash, we'll call him, although it's really Maras. We're going to come to the conclusion that there's a difference between what's called Kumvase and Shevialtase. And this was the last point that we discussed yesterday. And we said the following, that Yesh Koch Biyad Chachomim Lakar Dover Minat Torah. So, for example, the Chachomim could tell us on Rosh Hashanah, if it coincides with Shabbos, that we don't blow the shofar. And that's called Yesh Koch Biyad Chachom Lakar Dover Minat Torah B'Shev V'Altaseh. Okay? Now, how is this relevant to our discussion about Knas? Well, there's a possibility for the Chachamim to say that he doesn't pay Knas. Why? Because he violated Shnios LaRayos. Now, if the Chachamim are able to do this, that's because it's a Shevialtaseh. Now let's put this on the side for just one moment. We'll come right back to it in Tav Shin Lamed Tes. But I want to just emphasize that the Mishnah Melech himself comes to the conclusion that there was never a machlokas in our sugya between Shimon HaTimoni and Rav Shimon ben Menasya as far as Velosi Elisha B'Torah's mitzvah is concerned. Everybody agrees that if the Torah prohibits this relationship, then for the sake of the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha, we're not going to affirm the mitzvah. Why? Because Esei Dochalosa said doesn't apply with regard to an Iser that I Amra Lo with regard to a mitzvah that I Amra Lo Be'ina Lesa La Mitzvah Klal. And she could say, I don't want this mitzvah.
Conditional.
Correct. If it's conditional on a person's desire, then we'll convince that person, in this case where there's a conflict between the essay and the losa, we'll convince them not to exercise that will. And if they don't agree, we'll objectively say it. And that you'll see here on the top of your page, about seven lines down, where it starts with a sugyan daf mem omen aleph, shiny essay zu, this essay of Velosi Elisha is different. De ilu omra lo be'inole lo kaifinan lo. We're not going to force her to marry him, so it's all conditional on her das, on her interest and willingness to marry him. The Rishonim say that that makes it into an essay that's keel. Keel means it's a little bit less severe, it's more lenient, and it doesn't have the power to be docha any iser. And that's going to be true according to all the Tanoim, that there's not going to be a mitzvah of a lo seal isha. The machlokis, therefore, between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasya about how to learn v'lo seal isha only addresses the issue of knas. According to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, the Torah, when it says v'lo seal isha, is telling us that if there's an iser here, any sort of iser, even an achayve essay, then there won't be any knas. Because that's not called isha sheyachol l'kayma. According to Shimon HaTimni, the pasuk isha, lo seal isha, is coming to teach me that if there's no tfisas kedushin, then there's no knas. And if there is tfisas kedushin, even though he's not allowed to marry her because it's a chayve essay situation, nevertheless there won't be any knas. Why? Because it's not... Just one second. Let me get the mathematics here. According to Shimon, Rav Shimon ben Menasya, according to... I always have to get this... you'll review this in my mind. According to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, Isha Ruya L'Kaima, then in the case of Chayvei Essay, there won't be any knas. According to Rav Shimon HaTimni, an isha she'eba avaya, that means in the case of chayvei essay, there will be a knas. Why? Because it's yesh ba havaya. But again, here's where the Mishnah Melech steps up to the plate and he says, don't misunderstand Rabbi Shimon HaTimani when he says yesh ba havaya. He doesn't mean that he's going to marry her. There is no mitzvah of a lo seal isha to be docha chayvei essay, etc., etc. What it means is that since in theory, in abstract, he could marry her and there would be tfisas kedushin, therefore he pays the knas. That was the last point that we made. Now let's take a look at the question of the achronim here on the bottom right column here on Tav Peh. Hachronim hikshu al direi maras datam di osu lisa shnia hu mishum di yesh koach biad chachomim lakar dover min ha-Torah b'shevi altase. So again, keep in mind that the maras is not the same as the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech is saying that in the case of a shnia, we're not going to apply the principle of essay docha lo sase because of the weakness of this essay, because it's an essay kal atluya b'dasa isha. On the other hand, the Maras is going to say that there's not going to be a marriage situation here of a lo seal isha in the case of a shniel arayos, because yesh koch b'yad chachamim lakadov v'na Torah b'shevi altase. That was the Maras. So the Maras, in theory, is able to operate with the possibility of essay docha lo sase. He's not going to allow that in the case of lo seal le'isha, even though, again, there's no lo sase in shnios, but the Rabbanan are going to upgrade their iser of shnia, and they're going to say that because of the iser of shnia, there's not going to be a mitzvah to be docha the Iser Shnia. So the Lo Seal Isha doesn't have the power to do so. And that's going to be considered Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachom Laker Dov Min HaTorah B'Shevi Altas. So on a Doraisa level, there should be a Knas. On a Doraisa level, he should be marrying her. But the Rabbanan are going to say, no, we're going to consider her as if she were an Erva of the first degree, and there's no Heter Nesu'in here, and that's called Akira B'Shevi Altas. So the Kasha is from the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchas Nara. The Rambam writes with regard to Motzi Shemra, Nimtza Badvar Zima, Oshe Nimtza Asura Olav, Michayve Lavim, O Michayve Esev, Afilu Shnia, Hareze Yarshena Beget. The Torah says in the case of Motzi Shemra, when he slanders his wife, he's not allowed to divorce her for the rest of his life. what happens if Nimtza Badavar Erva? In other words, she has a relationship outside the framework of marriage with another man. And that's an Issa Sota. He's not allowed to live with her. Or, for example, she's Chayve Lavim or Chayve Esse. In such a case, he has to divorce her. And we're going to override the Iser of Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha Kol Yomah. But the Rambam adds Shnia to the list. This is very typical of the Rambam. He always adds Shnia. Now, in the case of Shnia, what's going to happen here? The Rambam says, because she's a Shnia L'Arayos, he, the Motzi Shemra, who married her, has to divorce her. He has to deliver a get. And in that case, we're talking about a violation of a lav of Lo Yuchal Shalcha Bekumva Ese, with an action of divorce. Now, if the Maras is right, that the Rabbanon are exercising their power of Akira's Dover Min HaTorah in the case of Shnia, how could they do so in the case of forcing the Motzi Shemra to divorce his wife? That would be violating the Torah law, because the Torah says he's not allowed to divorce her, B'kuvase. So how could the Maras exercise or activate the principle of Shevi Al Taseh and say the Chachomim in Shnia are adamant about insisting that we can be Oker and Esei Shel Torah? Okay, that makes sense if you're talking about Velosia Leisha in a case of Onis and Mafata, but in the case of Motzi Shema, the Torah adds a law that says L'yuchal Shalcha Kol Yomav. And therefore, if you're going to force him to divorce his wife, he's violating a Torah law, the Kumvaseh. Because on a Torah level, there's no Issur Shnia, and there's no reason why he shouldn't remain married until the day he dies. Now, he makes an attempt here, in the next paragraph, to defend the Maras, and to assume that somehow this is considered Shevi Al Taseh, even when he's divorcing his wife. Let's try to understand what he says. Kevin Shechachomim Asruha Olav, meaning a Shnia, Ve'eno Re'uyalo Le'isha, is Memela Nekar Olav Delo Yuchal Shalcha. What does it mean? The Torah says, Lo Sia Le'isha, he should be married to her, and Lo Yuchal Shalcha, he's not even allowed to divorce her. Well, let's analyze the ratio of Lo Sia Le'isha. Lo Sia Le'isha means that he has a mitzvah to marry her. Well, we're saying that in this case there would be no mitzvah to marry her because the Chachamim put their foot down and they were oker that mitzvah. Well, once they were oker the mitzvah, Memela, there's no violation of the lav of Lo Yuchal Shalcha. Why? Because the violation of the lav is the flip side, so to speak, is the attachment to the essay of Lo Sia Le'isha. If there's no essay of Lo Sia Le'isha, then there's no lav in being Mishalcha. And here, since she's not Ru'uya, again, even though she's only a Durabbanon, but we said that a Durabbanon itself, if Yesh Koch V'yad Chachamim, gives the Rabbanon the ability to say Shevi Al Taseh and don't marry this woman, is Memela Lo Chivasa Torah Shelo Yuchal Agarsha. And therefore this is not considered Akiris Torah Min HaTorah. Again, if you ask me what the Torah would say about his divorcing her, the Torah would say it's absolutely prohibited. He's a Motzi Shemra, and we're talking about an Isur Rabbanon. So the Torah doesn't recognize that Isur. But if you're talking about Yesh Koch B'yad Chachamim and whether the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha is going to apply, then the answer is that the mitzvah won't apply. And now we're defining the Losaseh as the flip side of the Isur. I think we have some pages also on the back table there that you might find some pages that you need. We're about to look on page Tuf Pei Aleph, if you can find such a page in your... So now what we're saying is the following, that there's a mitzvah to marry this woman, and is an isur to divorce this woman in the case of Motzi Shemra. Where is the mitzvah to marry this woman? It says Velosi Elisha. And we're saying that Velosi Elisha, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, means Re'uya L'Kayma, correct? And Re'uya L'Kayma means that this is a marriage that the Torah would be excited about, so to speak, right? So then it says Velo Yucha L'Shalcha. But if the Chachamim are Oker Dov Min HaTorah in the case of Shnias L'Arayis, meaning they don't want this marriage because she's in a Shnia L'Erva, therefore there's no mitzvah Velo Si L'Isha, hence there's no Isur Velo Yucha L'Shalcha. However, all this makes sense according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, because he puts all the emphasis on whether the Torah wants this marriage to continue and is happy about this shidduch or not happy about this shidduch. And once you press the button of Yesh Koch Biat Chachamim in the case of Shnia, the Torah doesn't want this marriage. But let's now shift over to the mentality of Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni says that Velosi L'Isha means as long as there is Tfisas Kiddushin. So if you take a look now in Tav Shin Mem Aleph, he says V'ulam, however, Kol Zeh Hu L'Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. It all makes sense according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, the Dorish L'Kra L'Velosi L'Isha V'Din Isha Ruya L'Kayma. Hainu Da Mitzvah Hi She'Kaymena Derech Ishus, that he should continue with this marriage, and that's what the Torah wants. That's called Velosi L'Isha. Avol Rav Shimon HaTimni didorish Isha sheyesh ba havaya ein hamitzvah ela shetia knuya lo l'Isha v'lo be'inin klal shetia ruya l'kayma. So now let's understand how this mitzvah works according to Rav Shimon HaTimni. Rav Shimon HaTimni is not talking about the Torah getting excited about this marriage, the shidduch, you know, the derech ishus of it. Because we're talking now about a lotaseh or a lotaseh sheish bo kares, and that's being excluded by veloti elisha because there's no avaya, there's no tfisas kedusha. The mitzvah of veloti elisha simply expresses itself in tfisas kedusha. We don't need a Re'uya L'Kayma. We don't need to check off our excitement about this marriage. All we need is that there should be a valid marriage. Is Memela, according to Shimon HaTimni, it comes out that if this woman is a Chai V'Yesei, where there is Tvisus Kedushin, how much more so if she's only a Shneel Arayos, is Mekayma there, included, she's included in this case of Chai V'Yesei, in the mitzvah of Velosi L'Isha. All we need is that there be a tfisas kedusha. The kavan dahani tanoi sfirle the knas toli b'mitzvahs velosi l'isha means when do you pay knas? Only when there is a possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah velosi l'isha. Is Rav Shimon HaTimni kol hecha de tafsi b'kedushin mishalim knas? Why is a possibility of fulfilling this mitzvah? Achol pisha ena re'uya lo. Right, she's chai v'yesei. Memela shapir, maksha gemara, amai shnios ein lem knas, hamidoraisa chazile. The gemara thinks that if the Bryce is telling me in the case of shnios there's no knas, well that's a stira to Rav Shimon HaTimni, because Rav Shimon HaTimni says that as long as there's tfisas kedusha, there will be knas. All the Torah wants to see is the possibility of havaya of a valid ishus. The Torah is not talking about a mitzvah to be makayim this ishus. So, in the case of a chai v'yesei, we'll see the case of chai v'yesei in a minute. Then the Torah would say there should be knas. Why is therefore the Gemara raises the following objection? Why is the Brisa insisting that in case of Shneel Sarais there is no knas? If this Brisa reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon HaTimni, as we saw in the Mishnah Melech yesterday, then we don't need a Re'uya L'Kayma, right, with an Isis before. All we need is that the Torah would say that in the relationship between him and her, there could be Tfisas Kedushin. And Kevin Debin HaTorah Chazileh, In that case, there should be a payment of knas. Now, at this point, what I'd like you to do, we're going to take a break over here, and we're going to look at, let me get the page number, at page Kuf Tes, which I hope you have.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Good news.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little about Chayve Essay. Now, in order to appreciate this discussion on page Kuf Tes, which is Oth Ayin Hey on the right side of the page, let's open up the Gemara Ksubis to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph is looking for an afkamina between Rav Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and it's in the light of Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva, if you remember, largely greatly expands the category of Itfisas Kedushin, and the language is Shahaya Rabbi Kiva Omer Kol She'ein Lo Bia B'Yisrael, any lav in the Torah Vlad Mamzer. And now we're stuck because we don't know what could be the nafkamina. If you're going to talk about, for example, Chayve Lavim, so then Rabbi Akiva is going to say that there's no Tfisas Kedushin Chayve Lavim. Hence, even according to Shimon HaTimni, there will be no Knas. So the Gemara on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph says Chayve Essay, which means Mitri and Adomi. That's going to be the nafkamina of an Isra say, because in the case of Mitzri Vadomi, within the first three generations, so for example, you have a Mitzris who's a Gioris, or let's say a Bas of a Ger Mitzri, of a Ger Adomi, then there's going to be an Isur, but that's included in an Isra say. The Torah says, Lo Sesayv Adomi ki Achichu, Lo Sesayv Mitzri ki Ger Ayisa Biartso. So the Torah never prohibits this marriage. It just says that Dor Shlishi Yovo Bekal Hashem. That's called in the Lashon of the Shas a Chayve Essay, otherwise known as a Lav Habo Mechal Essay. So this is now going to be the Nafkamina between Reuya Lekaima and Yesh Bo Havaya. According to Rav Shimon Menasi, Reuya Lekaima, it means what? Here she's not Ruhi Lekaim because it's Chayve Essay. According to Shimon HaTimni, which is what? Is Yesh Bo Havaya. Here it's only Chayve Essay, and Yesh Bo Havaya, the child of this marriage, would not be a mamzer. That's called Chayve Essay. So it means that Rabbi Akiva, when he said that Kol Bia Asura B'Yisrael is a mamzer, that means a Bia Hasura, B'Toris Isur, B'Toris La. Like, for example, Mamzeres and Almana L'Kohen Gadol, because the Torah says Lo Yikach. But when we get to Mitzri and Adomi, we're talking about Chayve Essay, and even Rabbi Akiva would agree that that's not a Bia Shasura Torah, and therefore it doesn't generate Mamzeres. So the Gemara goes on and says that, according to at least one opinion, when Rabbi Akiva said Kol She'ein Lo Bia B'Yisrael Avlad Mamzer, he included even Chayve Essay. So now the Gemara is going to ask Mai Beinayu, until finally we get to Ika Beinayu Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Again, we're not talking about Almana L'Kohen Gadol. Almana L'Kohen Gadol is a lav in the Torah, but we're talking about a Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. The Torah says, in the parasha of Emor, it says Ki Im Besula Me'amav Yikach Isha, that there's a mitzvah incumbent upon the Kohen Gadol to marry a Besula. And what's going to be the deal in a case of a Ba'ula? That's going to be a violation of this essay of Besula Me'amav Yikach. Now, what's the difference between that and Mitzri and Adomi? We just finished saying that Kol According to Rabbi Akiva, Kol Shein Lo Bia B'Yisrael, even if it's Chai V'Yesei, is it generates Mamzerus, and it's E Tfisas Kiddushin. Why don't we apply the same standard to Be'ula Kohen Gadol, which is an essay of who Besula, Kiyim Besula Me'am Avikach Isha, Maishna. So the Gemara answers, Da'avile Essay She'ena Shav B'Kol. No one's allowed to marry a Mitzvah Shnia. But in the case of a Be'ula, there's only one person on the face of the earth who's enjoined from marrying her, and that is the Kohen Gadol. That's called an Essay Shein Hashav B'Kol. An Essay Shein Hashav B'Kol is called an Iser Kal, with a Kuf, right? Kal. And since it's an Iser Kal, even Rabbi Akiva will agree that there's no Mamzerus. And therefore there is Tvisas Kedushin. So now we have a perfect Nafgemina between Shimon HaTibni and Shimon HaMenasseh. According to Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, she's Einar Ulil Kaima, hence there won't be any Knas. According to Shimon HaTibni, on the other hand, it's Yesh Ba'avaya, there is Tfisas Kedushin, it's an Essay Shein Hashav B'Kol, and hence there will be Knas. Okay. Now we have a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi is about 15 lines down from the top on Daf Lamed. Be'ula l'kohen gadol she'ein bo lav d'almonus, right? She was never divorced. Her husband died.
No.
I'm sorry. She was never married, I should say. That's what I meant to say. So therefore there's no lav of almonus. V'gerishin, right? She's neither a grusha nor almona, where there's a lav, because she was never married. Ela esse de besula yikach v'lo be'ula. Now Rashi's bothered. V'im tomar yesh kan lav de zona. If this woman had a be'ila outside the framework of marriage, let's say pani abola tnuya, then she becomes a zona. Now that itself is going to be a machlokas, but Rashi's going according to the Man D'Omer, who says that she's a zona. If she's a zona, then once again we're back to square one. There's a lav in the Torah, because in the same pasuk that prohibits a kohen gadol from marrying an almana, the Torah mentions a zona. So Rashi says, "Lo ashkan tana D'Omer pani abala pnuya so zona ella Rabbi Elazar, bless hilchus hakavase." The ein zona ella hanif elas leposula. So if she had this free relationship with a kosher, again he's not such a kosher, but it was a kosher who would not be included under any iser lav, and in effect she could marry him, then har be'ila does not make her into a zona, except according to Rabbi Lazar. And we don't paskin like Rabbi Lazar, and therefore she is not a zona. Okay, now Rashi has another kasha. The Gemara is saying now that if you hold like Shimon HaTibni, and Shimon HaTibni says that Yesh Ba Havaya is enough to generate knas, correct? Therefore, in the case of a kohen gadol who rapes a be'ula, he doesn't pay. He would pay knas, correct? Because it's yesh ba'avaya. There's only one problem: if she's a be'ula, then she's not included in the parasha. So the whole parasha of knas is a besula, and we're talking about a be'ula a kohen gadol. How can we have a be'ula a kohen gadol that gets knas when, by definition, the knas is contingent on the fact that she's a besula? Yes? Gevalik akash of Rashi. I mean, you can only kick yourself for not asking the kash. So Rashi's going to pull the old Shalom Kedarka trick. Do you remember that we discussed at great length yesterday? Ubebe'ula Shalom Kedarka Ayri. De'i Kedarka su leka knas. So Rashi, let's just summarize, has two chidushim here. One chidush is that this sugya, Be'ula Kohen Gadol, in Shimon HaTibni, could only be understood if we reject Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar holds that a pani abot apnuya makes it into a zona, that would hence give us a lav. And number two, that we have to assume that when the Gemara says ba'ula l'kohen gadol, it doesn't really mean a ba'ula l'kohen gadol. It means that she had a ba'ila shalo kedarka. Now watch, this is like a brisker tzvei dinim here. Because Rashi is saying that she's not a basula, but she's not a ba'ula. Well, in a sense, she is a ba'ula, because she's not a basula. And when the Torah commands a kohen gadol to marry a woman who's a basula, that excludes a woman who had a ve'ilah shalom kedarka. So the ve'ilah shalom kedarka takes her out of the state of basula, and therefore generates an iser asay of a kohen gadol marrying this woman. At the same time, she still remains a basula as far as knas is concerned in the parasha Naira basula. So it's very interesting. You and I would have said that if Be'ila Shalom Kedaka makes her a Ba'ula as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, then it should make her a Ba'ula as far as Knas is concerned. Rashi's saying no. We have two standards or two different definitions of what a Ba'ula is. In the standard of the Issa to Kohen Gadol, as an Issa say, we're talking about any woman that had any sort of Be'ila whatsoever. But if you're talking about the standard of a Ba'ula as far as Knas is concerned, in Onus Umafate, then she's still considered a basula. So is she a basula or is she a ba'ula? Well, she's a basula giving her rights to collect fast. She's a ba'ula in the sense that she's no longer fit for a kohen gadol. Wow. That's Rashi. So let's just make a little progress here and then we'll discuss this. Let's just get the facts on the ground. Okay. So Rashi interprets this sugya of Ba'ula Kohen Gadol as a Ba'ula Shalo Kedarka. And all this took place before the Kohen Gadol entered into the picture. The Kohen Gadol now enters, front stage, and he has a relationship with this woman. He now violates the assay of Hubib Sula Yikap, because she's already had a Ba'ula Shalo Kedarka. But on the other hand, he has to pay the knas because she's still a Basula. Now, Tosfos is going to ask the same kasha of Rashi, but come up with a whole different answer. Ika beinayu ba'ula l'koin gadol. Pirush b'kunshus ba'ula shalo kedarka. V'kasha. Depluta d'Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Lozer hi b'perek haba al yevimto. Again, Rabbi Moshe, this is not the same machlokas that we spoke about earlier in Rashi with regard to Pani Apal Pnuya, what kind of Be'ila makes her into a zona. But here's going to be a machlokas about the status of a Be'ula Shalo Kedarka vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol. And I'm not sure who holds what at this point, but it's a toss-up between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lozer. One of them holds that she still k'shera the Kohen Gadol, even though she had a Be'ila Shalo Kedarka. Now that makes no sense according to Rashi, because if she's a Be'ula Shalo Kedarka, how could the Kohen Gadol be guilty of violating an Iser Essay of Hu B'Psula Yikach when you're telling me that according to this Shita, we'll call it Rabbi Meir, she's still k'shera the Kohen Gadol, so he didn't violate anything. And we're looking for an afkamina between Rav Shim ben Menasya and Shimon HaTimani, meaning according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, it's already also a kaima because of this Iser essay of Basula. And we're saying that therefore she wouldn't get knas, but otherwise she would have gotten knas because she's a Basula. Well, you're telling me that the reason why she won't get knas according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya is because he's violating the Iser of B'psula Yikach. Now, you're telling me that he's violating that Iser because she already had a Be'ula Shalom Kedarka. Well, I got news for you. Rabbi Meir, at least, is of the opinion that Be'ula Shalom Kedarka is Muteres L'Kohen Gadol. So the whole sugya now falls by the wayside. V'havi le'lememar l'Rabbi Meir di'omar k'sher l'Kohen Gadol ma'ika le'memar. Right, the Gemara asked, what are you going to say according to Rabbi Akiva? Why didn't the Gemara say, what are you going to say according to Rabbi Meir? In other words, Bekitzer, we cannot find a Be'ula who is still a besula as far as knas is concerned, and yet she's a sura to a kohen gadol, because according to Rabbi there ain't no such possibility. And now we're up to the Omer Ri. So I'm going to read the rest of this Tosfos with the footnotes of the Masifta. Are you familiar with the Masifta? So he has footnotes. Now sometimes the footnotes are helpful. Sometimes, at least for me, they just don't do it for me. You know, Rav Nachman Kahana from the Old City has written a Pirish on Tosfos. I don't have access to it.
Meimenuchot.
If you can get it for me on Ksubis, again, it's like, I don't know how many volumes he has already. I don't know if he finished the whole shot.
For each parrot.
Oh, that's right. He even breaks down the Prokim. Wow. Shoot. One of them is dedicated in memory of my brother, Zichron Levracha. That's the one on Bava Kama, but I don't know which parrot in Bava Kama. Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and we're taking a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ika Beinayu Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, correct? And we're up to the Omer Ri. And he says the following. Again, I'm reading the Masifta here. Ein lo havi raya misham. Don't bring any proof from that sugya in Yevamos. Just want to say, I think I'm skipping something. One second. Yeah. Why? De'achilut b'neim amur lio salib de kuli alma varaya de maisi mirabi akiva yesh lidchos. In other words, you want to prove from Rabbi Akiva, right, the Gemara's kasha about Rabbi Akiva, that we need to work out this machlokes, this nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon ben Tvani, according to all deos. Says the Ri, that's not really so. The Rabbi Akiva parak shapir, my ikar bein, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon ben Tvani, desham omar kein, kidei leukmi l'Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh shuhu basra, Ki Rabbi Akiva Shahoya Rabo. Velo mistaber lomar sha'omar dvorov de lo kishitas Rabo. So there's a direct relationship between Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Rabbi Akiva that we want to line them up together because it's a Talmud and a Rebbe. And as a result, the Gemara has a kasha. What are you going to say according to Rabbi Akiva? Because we're assuming that Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh accepts Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, how can you set up an afkavina between Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTemani in a case which is not an afkavina at all because of Rabbi Akiva? Ama Baha, but as far as the din of Ba'ula, Shalok Kedakal, Kohen Gadol, we don't have to square with all the Shitas. Lo Chayashi Pligi Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, and he holds that she's Muteris Kohen Gadol, to Lo Ayur Rab. This is a very technical, mechanical answer. Now we're up to Rabbeinu Chanane. Rabbeinu Chanane Pirish, again to try to answer this question of how could she be Asura L'Kohen Gadol, and yet she's still considered a Besula, and yet as far as Knas we see that she's still a Besula. He says, the Hacha Lo mayri bebeula me'acher. It's not that when the Kohen Gadol had its relationship with us, she was already a be'ula. Ella, the Kohen Gadol, he has the word atzmo, sha'onas besula gemura. Okay, this is really complicated. Klomar, sha'onso kedarka. Forget about the first answer of shalom kedarka, which brought us into the minefield of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lozer over there in Masechta Yevamos. Forget about that. It's a Be'ilo Kedarka, but who is the Boel here? The Kohen Gadol himself. V'achein tehei asura olav. Mishum di'achshav kfar eina besula. So again, on the one hand, he incurs a chi of knas But on the other hand, there's no way that he can remain married to her because she's now a Ba'ula. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that a Kohen Gadol can only be married to a woman for 5 minutes, you know, until he consummates the marriage? He says the following: Mishum di af Ba'ula shenivla mimena shelo l'shem kiddushin nikreis Ba'ula shasur l'Kohen Gadol. You know, it all depends on what framework this Ba'ula was implemented. If it's in the framework of marriage, then it doesn't make her into a Ba'ula because he's the one who made it into a Ba'ula within the framework of Ishus. But if he rapes her, Nebuch, and is not, they're not married to each other, so it's Shalol Hashem Ishus, then she's considered Ba'ula Kohen Gadol. He's going to have to pay Knas according to the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, right? Rav Shimon ben Manasseh is the one who holds, according to Shimon HaTeimani, right? Because we said that there is Tfisas Kiddushin. Yeah, let me just make sure I get this right. Can somebody just help me out here? Shimon HaTeimani is the one who says Yesh Ba'Havaya? I should write this on the board. Yeah. Right. So here's a case of Yesh Ba'Havaya. And again, because this Easter is different than any other Easter, even Mitzri Sheni, because it's Eina Shavah Bakol. So there's Tfisas Kiddushin, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Hence, according to Shimon HaTeimani, there will be knas. Again, he's going to have to divorce her, our Rabbi Kohen Gadol, right? Rabbi Kohen Gadol. But yet he has to pay knas. Why? Because yesh ba tfisas kiddush. Yesh ba avay. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it's ein ruyu l'kaima. Why? Because that be'ila made her into ba'ula to the Kohen Gadol. Because it was shalol l'shem ishus. Is therefore he says shapir lo chashiva ruyu l'kaima. Ru'il Kaima is the shita of Rab Shimon ben Manasseh, and he says Sharei Ba'ula Gemurahi. I'm reading the Masifti. He says the Af Rabbi Meir Moda the Bechai Gavna Asur Lo LeKohen Gadol LeKachta, right? Because Rabbi Meir's business was about Ba'ula Shel Kedarka. Here was a Ba'ula Kedarka. Now, the toast is about to ask a kash on Rabbeinu Chananel. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. We'll try to finish up with this toast in a minute. But first, I'd like you to take a look at page Kuf Tes. And this is going to be number Ayin He. He says, "The Gemara Ika Beinayu Ba'ula LeKohen Gadol Nechleku Bazer Rashi V'Tosfos Rashi Pirish Demayri Shahoisa Isha Zu Ba'ula Me'Adam Acher Shelo Kedarka Kodem Shansa LeKohen Gadol Azeh Delegavi Iser Ba'ula LeKohen Gadol Nechsheves Ba'ula But Legavi Knas Nechsheves Kibusula V'Lachem LeRabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh." Who says that you need Ruhi L'Kaima is Ein Lo Knas, Hol Vein Ruhi L'Kaima, Avol Rav Shimon HaTeimani, Yesh Lo Knas Kevin Shehi, Kevin Shehi, Yesh Ba Havai. What was mean Kevin Shehi? Yesh Lo Knas. Oh, he's saying the following. First of all, even though she had a Be'ilu Shalom Kedaka, nevertheless, she's still a Besu as far as Knas is concerned. Now you'll tell me, well, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have a relationship with her because she's a Ba'ula, and therefore it's Ein Ruhi L'Kaima name. We're going according to Shimon HaTeimani, and it all depends on Yesh Ba Havaya. HaTosvis Heviu Pirish Rabbeinu Chananel Demayri B'Kohen Gadol Sha'onas B'Sula Gemura Umikolokom Nechsheves Einar Ruhi L'Kaima, that's going to Reb Shimon Manasseh to exclude her from Knas, Mishum Sha'asa'a Be'ula Bibiyasa. And again, it was a Be'ula Shalom L'Shem Ishus. Vamrina B'Yavamos Anusas Atzmo Futas Atzmo Lo Yisa. Whoa, life is complicated here. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Anusas Atzmo because it was outside the, right? He made her into Bu'u outside the framework of Yishus. But here's where life gets complicated. V'yibnasa Nasui. Which means exactly what we said before, that this Isra say of Bu'ul Kohen Gadol is Eino Shavu L'chol Nefesh, and even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree that there is Tfisas Kedusha. But again, I don't know what the Gemara means here in Yevamos. We have to open up the Gemara in Yevamos. Does it mean Nasui and we're not going to force him to divorce her? Or Nasui means and he has to divorce her because Kedushin Tovsin? I don't know. Pashtus, I would say, he has to divorce her because every moment that he lives with her, he's living with an Isur Ba'ula. Yeshba is an Isur Torah. So again, we don't know. There's a whole sugya here, a whole gamut of cases that fit into this description in terms of a Kohen Gadol that lo yisa, and there's an isur from Tamaria, but in nasa nasui. And basically, what's common to that whole gamut of cases is that she's not a real ba'ula. What do I mean she's not a real ba'ula? She has a mukas eight situation. So her basulim were removed. She's a bogeris and her basulim get older with time. So they get shriveled, shriveled up. Or it was his own ba'ila outside of the framework of marriage that made her into a ba'ula. So her status is similar to that of a bogeris and a mukas eight. She's not a basula. But in Nasa Nasri, she's not a real classic Ba'ula. Because again, he was the one who made her into a Ba'ula. And in the cases of Bogeris and Mukasei, she's not a Ba'ula. Again, according to Rashi, she was already a Ba'ula, but Shalom Kedarka. And then Rashi has the Tzvei Dinim. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, he himself made her into a Ba'ula through his onus, and therefore Yisa. However, since there is Tfisas Kedusha, therefore according to Shivan Atimni, she collects Knas. On the other hand, according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, it's Einarui L'Kaima. Again, it's a funny kind of Einarui L'Kaima. It's an Einarui L'Kaima of Lo Yisa, but in Nasa Nasa. Which means that he's not allowed to marry this woman. Why? Because he made her into a Ba'ula outside the framework of marriage. If he went ahead and married her, then Nasui. But as far as the Knas is concerned, we're not talking about a B'dievet situation. We want to know, is she included under the parasha of Alosi Elisha? If yes, she gets Knas. If no, she doesn't get Knas. The answer is she's not included on Alosi Elisha because Lo Yisa. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her. Again, it's a funny kind of situation because why is the Kohen Gadol enjoined from marrying her? It's because of this very act of onus, correct? Mm-hmm. So let me try to understand how this works. There's this a little bit of a time confusion here. You know, how do you set up the timeline? At the moment that he has Be'ilu with her, just one second, since it was Shalom Hashem Ishus, she becomes Asura Olav. She becomes Asura Olav. And we're talking about an Isur Torah. Why? Because he made her into a Ba'ula. But one moment. At the time of the Be'ila, she was Ru'il Akaim, right? But after the Be'ila, she becomes, and with the Be'ila, so to speak, she becomes Eina Ru'il Akaim. The Be'ila itself makes her into Eina Ru'il Akaim. So I guess what we're saying is that Velosi Isha is to be defined after the Be'ilah.
When it comes to marry her, she's not a Besumi.
Thank you. But I'm going to ask you the following question. At the moment of Be'ilah, of Onis, was she Ru'il Kaima? Absolutely. Yeah. But after the onus, she's not Ru'il Kaima. So you're going to tell me now.
She's not a Basula now.
Right, but I'm saying it's an interesting concept here, because in Rabbeinu Chananel, I don't know what's coming around the bend here, but I'm just saying, just we started the Nafshe, I would have said that Velosi, again, we've emphasized over and over again in the Mishnah Melech that Velosi Leisha is not the issue here is not whether there's a mitzvah to marry her. There's not going to be a mitzvah to marry her. Even in the case of Shnios Larai, so it won't be a mitzvah to marry her. But Velosi Elisha defines which Isha gets knas or not. So comes along Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and he says a woman that ain't a ruya l'kaima is excluded from knas. I would have said, let's go back to the moment of onus and ask ourselves, does this onus generate a knas? Says Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, we'll ask yourself a different question. Is she ruya l'kaima? The answer is she's ruya l'kaima. Elo what? If you're talking about whether we're going to tell him to marry her after the Bila, obviously he's not allowed to marry her because it's an Iser Torah of Lo Yisa. She's already a Ba'ula. However, if you're asking me whether the Isha is in the Parsha and can be defined or described as Ruya L'Kaima, I would say, well, look at her status at the moment of Ones, of Bila. Again, in the case of Rashi, where Rashi's saying she was a Ba'ulas Acher, but Shaloka Darka, and that already removes the status of this woman as what? As a Basula generates the Isur, then it's Ein Ruya L'Kaima, already at the time of the Bila. Again, that doesn't square with Rabbi Meir, but at least according to Rabbi Eliezer. But if you're talking about Rabbeinu Chananel, then in his frame of reference, she was an Ein Ruya L'Kaima. Now she's no longer an Ein Ruya L'Kaima. You know what I'm asking? Let's say a man is ma'anis a woman, and then let's say what could it be? And then you know her. What could be an example? I'm trying to think of an example where she became asura after the bi'ula. Somebody married somebody. Let's just figure that. Let's say a man rapes Rachel and then he marries Leah. Correct? Rachel and Leah's sisters. Does he pay Rachel a knas? Oh no, he doesn't pay Rachel a knas. She's achos ishta, and now she's an erev olam, and it's not ruil kaima. I mean, here we could even introduce Shimon HaTimni. It's ein ba'avaya. What would be your knee-jerk reaction if I woke you up in the middle of the night? Pays knas and doesn't pay knas. This is a great way of avoiding knas. Just marry your sister. I mean, it's worth it. I mean, she's only asking for a dowry of 50, of 25. You'll save yourself 50. There's something wrong here. You know, I'm saying, Rabbeinu Chananel is just, I'm scratching my brain here. You're telling me that there's an Iser Ba'ula that is chal after the Be'ila. Well, at the time of the Be'ila, her status was Ruya L'Kaima. I mean, she's a perfectly good, Bas Yisrael, Kosher V'Yosher. Now, you made her into a Be'ula, and therefore we're going to say it's ain't a Ruya L'Kaima.
There wasn't a shame issue, so it doesn't count.
No, what I'm asking is, when a man has a Bias Onus, and you want to know whether that Bia generates Knas, are you going to ask about Ruya L'Kaima post the Bia? That
no.
Something was Nolad, you know, something was Nolad afterwards that made her ain't a Ruya L'Kaima. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That shouldn't undermine the Chiyuv that was set by the Bi'il itself. So if you ask me Ruya L'Kaima or not Ruya L'Kaima, I'll ask you about the status of the woman at the moment of the Onus. Unless we split up the Bia into Tchilas Bia and Sofi, I don't know. We'll have to see about that, but... Now I'm just raising this question.
Because Lotia Leisha applies after.
Right, but again, we're not discussing whether he should marry her or not. I'm agreeing with you 1,000%. He's not going to marry her. The mitzvah of Lotia Leisha is not going to apply. Why? Because, this is a different kind of an essay. It's an essay kal, and we're not going to apply the principle of Yesh Koch of essay dochalo. I agree with you. But now that we've learned the Mishnah Melech, and it seeps into our brain, the whole sugya of Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimoni has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Alosi Elisha. It's all an issue of knas. Everybody agrees. Even Shimon HaTimni is going to agree that let it be an Isur Shnias L'Arayis, then there's not going to be any mitzvah to marry her. Narvas, the issue is, do you pay knas? And the answer is, if there would be an Isur without, And at the same time, paradoxically, it would be Tfisas Kiddush, and that would be the nafkamina between Rav Shimon Manasya and Shimon HaTimni. But now we're defining the Isha herself. We're not talking about the mitzvah of Velosi Elisha. Velosi Elisha is describing the woman that's included in the parasha of Knas. Is she this? Is she that? That we're going to have enough to meet in a case where she's Asura, but there is Tfisus Kedusha. What boggles my mind is that in the case that's described here by Rabbi Chanan of the Kohen Gadol was Ma'anis of Besula, then there's no Isra at all. Right? Because at this moment in time, she's a Besula. Hell or what? In the aftermath of the Be'ila, she is now Asura Olaf. But that makes sense if you're talking about the mitzvah of Losi Elisha, but we're not talking about the mitzvah, we're talking about the Knas. So, because subsequent to the Bia, she became an Eder Ruhi L'Kaima, therefore we're going to pater him up from Knas, when at the moment of the Be'ila and the Onus, she was Ruhi L'Kaima? That I don't understand. Unless it's somehow Gita V'yoda Bon Kachas kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? That simultaneously she became a Bu'ula and he had beer with her. They all happened at one moment in time. Is Bemela, when he had Bila with her, she was already a Bu'ula. I mean, which is not really true, but in the halachic universe anything goes, right? So let's just go back. Where do we stop here? I'm sorry, I got Tosis Eviu, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, etc., etc. I think we finished that paragraph, right? Are we up to the Pirush Rashi?
Yes.
Good. It's Hik Shashi to Mekubetzes. Amai Chashiva Isha Shieshba Havaya Hare Keva to Be'ulahi Nischala Bibiyasa. Just 1 second. Oh, I see what he's asking. Now, what happens according to Rashi? Rashi says that there's an Isur Torah on this woman by virtue of the Be'ilah Shalom Kedarka of the original Boel. But yet, there should be a Chiyuv Knas because she's still called a Besula. That was the paradox of Be'ilah Shalom Kedarka in this case. So he's asking, but she's a Chalola now, because since the Be'ilah Shalom Kedarka, the previous Boel, makes her into a Bo'ula as far as Kohen Gadol is concerned, then any Iser Kohuna, that Be'ilah makes her into a Chalola. Hence we're back to an Iser Lav, and once again there's no nafkamina between Rav Shimon Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni. The Tirex that came into Bishosh and Bala Havi Le Bigava Havaya. Okay, we're going now according to Shimon HaTimni. Is Afagavdali Achar. This is very similar to what we were trying to figure. I don't know why he doesn't ask this question on Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe that's going to come up at some point. Just 1 second. I'm hoping that this point is going to come up. I'm not sure. But it's a very similar point that he's raising here in Rashi's frame of reference. And he's going to say the following, that when he was Ba'alel, at that point she's not a Chalola. So therefore, Ispe Havaya. When he finishes his Be'ilah, that's when she becomes a Chalola. Oh, maybe we'll see here. Ulefi zeyesh lomer de la rash de rashi v'tos pligo. Rashi sfrile dod bein anisha sheyesh ba avaya l'Rav Shimon HaTimni. Hainu shetia ba avaya b'shasa ones. Aval hecha shebshasa ones hoysa ba avaya v'achkach neschal su lesle. Lo ich paslon. Those are the key words. Lo ich paslon. Umishalin knas. The imkain hu adin the Rav Shimon ben Manasya. When we're talking about ruil akaima, it all depends on shasa onis. Oh, Aval im liachar kach nischadesh siba shein ruil kaima lo mifta miknas. Okay. Oh, here it is, Rabosai. Take out a bottle of schnapps. Umemela lo yachal hoyarashi lefarish kitosis. I think he means Rabbeinu Chananel. The Mairi Bibu Ulas Atzmo. Oh, beautiful. The Keva, you're going to tell me I cheated. The Keva, the Vishasa Ones, Hoysa, Bisula Gemura. Right? Who is he Ma'anis? He was Ma'anis the Ba'ula. I'm sorry, Bisula. Right? So it's number one, Ru'il Akaiman, Kolshkein, it's Yesh Ba'avaya. Is Afal Pishali Achar Habia Nasis Ba'ula Vyasura Li'avasa Lisa'osa? Nevertheless, Lo Miftar. Miknas, he can't say Lamafreya, she became an Eina Ruya Lakaima, therefore he's going to pot her up for Knas. As I said before, let him marry her sister. Avotosa. Now, let's see what the counter argument is. He going to say Gito Vyoda Bon Kach? Avotosa Svirle, the Gam Hecha, Shevishas Ha'ones, Hoysaru Lakaima Lacha Ones, Ein Roy Lakaima, Potu Miknas. So why don't I just marry her sister? I don't get it. Who is this? Bays? Am I reading a Bays here? Or a yeah. Chaf? What am I reading? A Bays? Bays. Where's the Bays?
Mishnah.
Fiat Mishnah. I'm not sure what he means. Okay, Rabosai, I'm at loss here. How could it be that subsequent to the beer? Just 1 second. I mean, the answer has to be that it's because of the bia that she became Vasura. That has to be, as opposed to marrying her sister. So since the bia itself generates an isur, I don't know, the only way out for me is Gito Vyoda Bod Kachas, meaning this bia itself makes her into an Eda Ruyula Kaima. And therefore she doesn't get Knas. You had, John, yesterday you had a Rambam Hilchas Yisurei Biyah on the table. You still have it?
Yeah.
But don't give it to me. Open up and see if you can find the Mishlemelch. The trouble is that this Mishlemelch is gigantic. So it's Perek Yud Ches Yisurei Biyah Locha Beis. So tell me if you got the page. 18.2. And you're looking for Dibra Maskel Vechen and Dibra Maskel Shuvra Isi. So again, I don't know if you're going to get anywhere with this. The Mishnah Melech is a real challenge. He's not known for his brevity. I mean, he's known for his brilliance, but not for his brevity. So let's see if the next paragraph will in some way shed a light on this discussion. I also photocopy for you a piece from the Gvuris Yitzchak. Do you have a copy of that?
Yes.
So I'm going to try to, you know, we've been very heavy into the Mishkanos HaRoim here, so I thought maybe it's time for a change of pace. I think I made 4 copies. Okay. Anyway, V'yesh litlo zos b'chakir ma'u yisod adin v'chiv knas toli b'din lo silisha imu din al ha'isha. That's the way we've been understanding it. I'm hoping he's going to say that then Rashi is right. Shetia ba'avayo, shetia ruila kaima, kamod be'ino, shetia besula velo be'ula, narulobo says, oh, okay, that's number one. So we underline the word im, then we underline the word oh, she'ein zed din al ha'isha, el din chadosh, de be'inon, shetehe efsharus, she is kaima krod, below seal isha. What does he mean, Velosi Elish? I mean, again, if he's talking about marriage, then he's in the ballpark of Shimon Atimni. If he's talking about Isurim, then you're talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Why should that depend upon the future? I don't get it. No, come on. If it's a Din, the Isha, or is it a din chadash? Well, let's see how he works this out. So far, it's gibberish to me. What happened? You read it?
Yeah, no, I didn't read it.
Ah, you didn't read it. Oh, it's good. I knew he was going to give it to me.
Super easy.
Yeah, I knew he was going to give it to me. Okay. Why do I get all the work here? All right. Okay, that's Rashi. And therefore, if Shas Pia, she was ruling Kaima, Yesh Ba'avaya, it doesn't matter what happened. Oh. I will toast the sphere katsad hasheni. Let's see how this works out. L'chein gam im naseis eina ruy liachar bia potem iknas kem zi efsha l'kayim hakra divalo siya l'isha. Yeah, but he has to add one proviso here, that it was a result of that bia. Ulam af l'tzad zeh hani milik shena. Oh, Shenases bibiazu. Oh, here it is. Bibiazu ain't a ruila kaim. Who's he quoting here? Himself? Dalid. Ah, I guess this is he himself, the Mishkanos of Roman. Do you see that, everybody? Fi ulam lefitzadze hani mili. Do you see those last four words, line? Shenases bibiazu ain't a ruya. Yeah, this is what I call Gita Vyodabar and Kahas. Im Nesrol of Acherka. Oh, look at that! I'm telling you, you're going to say I cheated. He married her sister. Mm-hmm. Fine. Okay, very nice. I'm a happy camper here, but it's a pretty way out shita. So wait one second. Now let's get back to Chalol. So Rashi holds that it all depends on Shas Bia. So even though she becomes a chalola after the bia, but she was ruli kaima and yesh ba avaya at the time of the bia. Oh, so Tosis cannot accept Rashi, because if she's already ba'ula, then she becomes a chalola afterwards, and hence there's no nafkamina between Rav Shimon Atimoni and Rav Shimon Manasseh. So therefore Tosis comes over with Rabbeinu Chananel that she was a basula. And now, if she's a besula, then since with this bia she becomes a ba'ula, therefore he would not pay knas if you hold ena ruya l'kaima, which is whom? That's Rav Shimon Manasseh, correct? Is ena ruya l'kaima. And therefore, he doesn't pay knas. He does not pay knas. Now, let's go back to Rashi. She becomes a chalola after the bia. So, if that be the case, then even according to Rav Shimon Manasseh, there should be no payment of knas. Wow, it's really good. I think the pieces of the puzzle fit into place. In other words, Tosfos cannot accept Rashi based on his understanding of Rabbeinu Chananel. Given Rabbeinu Chananel, if this bia generates an isur, then we're going to discuss Rav Shimon Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni, what kind of isur is it? Is it just Eder Roy L'Kaimah, or it's Lesbe Havayah? But if that be the case, then Rashi's interpretation of Bila Shlo Kedarka is absolutely impossible. Why? Because there's going to be an Isolav here as a result of this Bia. Because she becomes a Chalol. So there's no way that Tosis Lishitoso, conceptually, could accept Rashi. Because by definition, even if you hold Ru'uya L'Kaima, this is going to be a case of Ena Ru'uya L'Kaima, because the moment that he has Be'ila with her, she becomes a Chalol. She becomes a halala. Masha Enkein, according to Tosfos, that he's having a bi'ila, she doesn't become a halala. If he'd have a second bi'a with her, she would become a halala, but not this first bi'a. Okay, so Rabosai, this is a piece of work, a beautiful piece of work. We're up to Ayin Vav. If somebody could make a note that we're up to Ayin Vav on page Kuf Tests. I'm going to try to make a note of it for myself, but chances are I will misplace my note, so I'm going to rely on you. Now, where is that? Oh, here it is. Okay, so what did we just say? Page Kuf Tes, right? And we're up to what number was it? Ayin Vav, we said?
Yeah.
Ayin Vav. Okay. All right, let's take a look at the Gvuras Yitzchak for a moment. And for this, we want to turn to Daf Lamed Aleph in the Septic Suits. This is on Masechta Sanhedrin. And I'm using this extensively in my Iyun Shirim on Masechta Sanhedrin, but today I'm cheating and I'm using it in my Iyun Shir on Ksubis because the Sugya of Kimlev and the Ramani appears in both Masechta, so I lucked out. Mm-hmm. The only article out of about 50 articles in this book that's relevant to Ksubis is this one. Okay. So what happens on Daf Lamed Aleph? You see the first five words say Vikar Shirayim Shel Chavero.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the case of Kimlev and the Rabbi Minei when he eats Truma and he's a Zar, therefore incurring a few Misavidei Shavayim, and at the same moment he rips somebody else's clothes. And the Gemara is going to say that he is potter for paying damages on ripping someone shirayim because at that moment he incurred a chiyuv misa. So I want to read to you this. I didn't photocopy for you as chatoyeri maskir, a footnote in the Masifta. He says hikshu arishonim divi sanhedrin daf yud mevuar divi misa lazeh v'tashlum lazeh chayav v'lo amrinim kimlev l'raminei. So he's chayav misa for eating the truma of a kohen, and now he's meant to be potur for ripping someone else's garments. Well, that's called misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh. Hainu, demakom shachiyuv misa v'tashlum eino machmas odom echad ein ptur shel kimlei b'derame mine. And that's the sugyan Sanhedrin daf yud. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin addresses the following case. This is a case of Edom Zomamin. Edom he'idu sheploni ba albito sheploni mirtsono. Okay, so we're talking about a Nara. She's married. Two Edom testify that she had a relationship with someone else. So she's married to Reuven, they testify that on such a day in such a place they witnessed that she had a relationship with Shimon. Now two Edom come in and say, Imano Ayisa. Mm-hmm. Now let's just think about the original Zmama. It's a twofold issue. Number one, she loses her ksuba. That's relevant to the father because keep in mind she's a Nara, Kol Shvach Nurel at Beis Avia. And she and the Boel, we'll call him Shimon, are going to be put to death. Now the Edom becomes Zomamim, so now they're subject to two Chiyuvim. Number one, the Kasha Zomam vis-a-vis her and the Boel of Misa. Number two, the Kasha Zomam vis-a-vis the father of this girl with regard to the Ksuba because he loses his Ksuba. Now he's going to get his ksuba because the Edom were proved to be false Edom. So the Gemara wants to know, in such a case, would we apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbi and would say the Edom are off the hook as far as Masayim Zuz because they're Chayv Misa and Eino Mesu Mishalin. So the Gemara says, nay, we're not going to apply Kimlev the Rabbi. Why? Because it's Misa Lezeh V'Tashlumin Lezeh. In other words, he's chayav misa for his mama against her and her boel. He's chayav tashlume ksuba because of his mama against the father. That's called misa lezeh, tashlume lezeh. If that be the case, The Rishonim asks the same thing here in the sugya here in Ksubis in Perek Elunaris when he's eating the truma. The chiyuv misa zazar is because vachilus truma. The chiyuv tashlumin is because he ripped yedem shirayim at the same moment. Madua niftar kan mishum kibble the rabbimine. So Rashi elsewhere says that this sugya, which is called Ravashi, that we're learning here in Ksubis, rejects the sugya in Sanhedrin. They're two irreconcilable sugyas. When the Gemara establishes in Sanhedrin, Misal Ezevet Hashlum Ezechayev L'Shalim, that's against Ravashi. Because Ravashi here in Ksubis says that if he eats Truma, and at the same time he riffs someone else's Shirayim, that he's potter. Even though it's Misal Ezevet Hashlum Ezev. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin would say that in this case, he's Chayev, he has to pay. Omnam Tosvis Dibra Maskel Rav Ashi. Now Tosvis Dibra Maskel Rav Ashi begins on Lamed Omid Beis, and it looks like a harmless Tosvis, only four lines, right? But it continues on Lamed Aleph Omid Aleph for another 30 lines, so it's not one of these harmless Tosvis. But anyway, Tosvis says that anidon kan eno kashur la nidon shel misal ezevet tashlum ze kemet shirak b'mokum shechiv misal b'machmas shebo larges chaviro nechshav kemisal ezevet tashlum ze. So in other words, if the accused is chayv misa for an act that he perpetrated to another person, and he should be chayav mamon for an act, or that same act that he perpetrated against someone else's property, that's when the Gemara in Sanhedrin kicks in. Avol misa sheba machva sha'ovar isur sha'asa l'shamayim, like what we call Beit Adam, Beit Adam Mokom, nechshav kemisa v'tashlum li'acher. So Tosis has a whole acrobatics here with the lumdus, that in the case of Truma, it's not that he's chayav misa v'dei shamayim for the damage that he did to the kohen. It has nothing to do with that. Could be it's even truma before it was delivered to the kohen. Nevertheless, he's chayav misa l'shamayim. Well, if at the moment that he's chayav misa l'shamayim he incurs a chiyuv mamon, then we apply the principle of kimlei rami, hence kar shirayim shalaveri pays. But when do we say Misa Lezevet Hashlum Ezechayev L'Shalim? That's when there was a Misa, the Edom wanted to kill her and her Boel, and now they wanted to be Mafsid, the father of the Ksuba. That's already called Misa Lezevet Hashlum Ezechayev, and there's no Kimlei Rami. Hence, the two sugyas can be reconciled. If you follow that introduction, we're ready for this article. Avi Abal Edim Shezinsa. Okay, this is a case of Motzi Shemra. Normally Motzi Shemra has no proof Shezinsa other than his own word, but here he brings Edim to support his claim. Ve'avi Av Edim Ve'hizimum Li'avi Abal. Is Eliyah Baal Ne'erogin the Ein Meshalmin Mama? Just one second. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure if this is so relevant for us right now, but I'm just mentioning in passing that I think Ein Meshalmin Mama means that a Motzi Shemra has to pay Me'a Kesef. And after he was Motzi Shemra, the father of this Nara has rights to that Me'a Kesef. When the Edom testify on behalf of the Baal that she was Mizana, then he's not a Motzi Shemra, and the father loses the Me'a Kesef. But since the Edom are Chayav Misa, because they testified to a woman that she had znus, so we're going to do kasha zoma, they're not going to have to pay the mamon to the baal for the motzi shema, which according to their edus, the father lost that money of motzi shema. Hatosus b'ksubis daflam in beis v'beikosu de beheidu al echad shotzi shemra al ishto vehuzmu chayovim ha'edim zomimim momon umalkus kevon sherotzu l'chaymo shneya. Now let's just think for a second, where is the malkus? I think the malkus here is for losana b'riached shoker. And the mamon here is because they testified that this person has to pay mea kesef as a motzi shemra. Hiksha go Rabbi Kiva Gazal Maishna me'edim she'idu al ishto shel ploni shezinsa im nimtzu zolimim. Nerogim v'lo mishalmim mamon. Again, what's the case? Eidim zomim Eidim eidu al ishto shel ploni shezimsa. So wait, what's the mamon here? So Eidim sheidu al ishto shel ploni Eidim sheidu al ishto shel ploni Zinsa. I think we're talking about Ksuba here, no? I think we're talking about Ksuba. Again, I hope I'm not misleading you. We just finished saying that Adam Zomimim will get both Malkus and Momon. We don't apply the principle of Kimlei B'Ramini in the case of Eidim Zomimim. So why in the case of Eidu Al Ishto Shaploni Shezinsa, why don't they pay the Ksuba, which was part of their Zmom, after Zmom U'Lechai Voshneim, on the next page, right? So he says that in the stencil of Reb Chaim, he gives the following answer, Shaini Adin, the Eino Meis U'Meshalem, Me Adin, the Eino Loke U'Meshalem. In other words, we have two branches or two applications of Kimlei B'Ramine. One is Misa and Mamon, and the other is Malkus and Mamon. And Reb Chaim wants to say that there's a fundamental difference between the two. The Misa u'Mamon yalfina mikra d'lo yeh ason u'gzeres hakosuv d'chiyuv Misa poter chiyuv Mamon. Masha enkin hodi en aloka v'shalom arei yalfina la mikra d'kidei rishaso arisha achas tam chaviyat arishai v'ashtei rishayos. The Sfaras Atosis, the Adam Zomimim, Lechaivo Mamon Umalkis, Chayovim Shneim. The Kevon the Chiyuv Mamon Umalkis, Travayu Mikasha Zomam, for Adam Zomu Lechaivo Shneim, Areza Choshev Risha Achas. Wow.
Kasha Zomam includes both.
Right. Because again, he's not looking at the, you know, the various parties and so forth. So he's just looking at the rishus itself. The rishus itself is punished by kasha zomam. So the Torah is saying that, you know, whatever's included in your zmama, I can give you a whole list of things, that your punishment is one individual punishment, and that's kasha zomam. And again, the details we could work out. There may be a long list of details, but it's one risha achas. We could call it perhaps Eidus Sheker, if you want to call it that. Is Mimela, there's no issue here of Shtei Rishuyos. We're not giving him two punishments for two different violations, one Mammon and one Malkus. We're saying that the Mammon Malkus is a package deal in the case of Kashas Omen Lassel Sliochid. V'lachein Eina Malkus Pochum Mimammon. You can't say Shtei Rishoyos and the more severe knocks off the other. Achein Zeu b'Malkus Mamet Potu Mishum Yatun Avol b'Misu Mamet Delo Yalfinale Mikra D'Kedei Rishas L'Mikra D'Lo Yeh Ason. is Misa Poter Mi Mamon Afilu Begavna Davi Risha Achas.
That's Xerath HaKatuv.
That's what I think he's saying. The Lachain Adim Zomimim Shazomimu Lachain Romisu Mamon Erogim Ein Meshalmim. So Risha Achas, would it generate two actual punishments? It all depends. If you're dealing with Malkus and Mammon and it's Risha Achas, then we give him the whole 9 yards, the whole kitchen sink. He's going to have to both suffer Malkus and pay Mammon. But if you're dealing with Misa and Mammon, which is not derived from Iyato Machayim Mishum Shtei Rishayos, which would allow for an exception to the rule in Risha Achas, it's just simply that we don't mete out these two punishments for the same crime, namely Misa and Mammon. Behine Betmura, I don't know if we'll have time to finish this one, Daf Gimel, it says, Kol Losa Sishvatora Osabo Maisa Lot Losabas. This is what we call Lav Shembo Maisa. The three exceptions to the rule are Nishva, Memer, Kamer, you get Malkus, even though it's a Lav Shembo Maisa. Afal Pish Losa Maisa Chayv. Tosus Hikshu, Homotzi Shem, Rav Yedim Zomim, Havian Lav Shembo Maisa, Veloki. Why is it that the Gemara lists only three exceptions? I can jack it up by two additional cases, so we go from three to number five. And that's a big deal. Ine Marana Riz, Tirets the Mimotzi Shemra, Ena Malkus Mitzad Alav, Delo Selech Rachil Ba'mecha, the Bechol Pamsha overall alav, Eno Loke, Rak Bemotzi Shemra, Al Ishto Lechud Loke. It's very hard to say that he violates this law in a million different scenarios, but in one scenario he gets Malkus. There must be a different definition of that Malkus. Bal Karchenu, Dal Malkus Lo Shech Lo Lav. We assume that whenever the Torah says Yechai Malkus because of the Averis Alav, that's not necessarily true. Ela Dezemah Michiyuve Motzi Shema. So the Achal Shem Motzi Shema, that he gets Malkus. Again, I don't know how this fits into the Gemara Makkos that says Ein Onshin Ben Elam Kemasirin. If Lo Selech Rachel is not enough of an Azor, that I don't know. Behine. Rabbi Meir Sover, Deloke Umeshalim. The Ula Omar Gover Motzi Shema, Ma Motzi Shema Loke Meshalim, of Kol Loke Meshalim. So Ula explains Rabbi Meir of Loke Meshalim based on Motzi Shema. Vikasha, Debishlema E Name Adam Malkus, Havial Alav, Shapir Choshu Shteir Shoyos, Da Momadu Al Etzem Otsa Shema. Shotzi Olel, Vila Malkus, Alalav, is Mishum Hachi, Shayach Bazeh Din, the Kdei Rishosa. Okay, so what's he saying now? That if you're talking about a punishment that's built into the Parsha, and it's not because of the Averis Alav, then that's a different story. Alright, I think we're going to stop here for Mincha. So let's make a note that we got up to the paragraph that starts for Hine, so that we'll go over this again and then we'll try to finish it on Sunday, Mr. Shem Yom Rishon. And I wish everyone a great Shabbos. And we'll finish up this that we started here and this that we started here. So we got plenty of work over the weekend, you know, to think about. And then we have this Mishnah Melech here that goes on for pages and pages. All right, we'll put this, if you don't mind, in the archives here. This I'll keep for myself. Oh, look who's here. Rabbi, when did you sneak in?
So I was in the mirror for the...
Oh, yeah. Who gave it?
Rabbi Elephon.
Oh, he's supposed to be very good.
He is good.
He has one of the largest shiurim in the world, I think, like 100 guys or something.
But what was interesting is...
So he speaks in English.
He speaks in English, right.
Yeah, his Yiddish, I think, is like my Yiddish, which is like non-existent.
So it was more of a...
He's an Amerikachka.
It wasn't very mussary. You know, it was more like a... I mean, he spoke about sisters and Haram, and saying it wasn't like a...
Fit into Rabbi Sol Salander.
I was thinking, if Rabbi Sol Salander was in the audience, I think he would have been disappointed. It was more like a drasha. It wasn't about, you know, midas or about...
It was probably very creative and very original, but it wasn't...
Exactly. No, it was like a drasha, like the rug, like you would give on Shabbos of... Right. You know, and a nice, you know, a maral and a this and a that, but it wasn't... Right. It was a drasha, let's put it... It didn't feel like Divrei Musar.
I didn't know that in the mirror...